All right, Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com, continuing with our high school football previews. We were out at Meet the Team on Friday night, got a firsthand look at the Golden Eagles, and it's always nice to get under the Friday night lights, but I know the coaches and the kids are ready to play a team that has different school colors. I guess we're playing the same school colors next week in Knoxville, but playing a different team.
Yeah, you get to that point where you're tired of hitting each other. You know, you've been around each other, whether it's in the weight room or on the practice field. You've been around each other since last November, you know, whether it's in other sports and all sorts of things. So you're tired of hitting your teammates, tired of going through drills, and now you're ready to put everything that you've worked on into action.
I saw an interesting tweet today about some interest in Wisconsin and Iowa, talking about maybe some controlled scrimmages on that Friday night before the first, you know, official game of the season. To me, that sounds like a reasonable concept, reasonable idea, when you factor in with the stuff you do in the summer anyway, which a lot of it's controlled 7-on-7, but it's a competition type thing. Is that something worthy of discussion, you think?
I think so, for sure. When you get a chance to go and work against some other teams and some other opponents, first of all, it kind of takes care of some of your depth issues at the smaller levels. There's times when it's hard to put together a real all 22 on the field, and you're able to get some better looks for your guys that you can put out there. Plus, before you get going in the season, you know, we throw our kids to the fire week one, not really knowing the true speed of the game. I mean, they may know it from previous years, but I think injury factor-wise, it would help them to have that controlled scrimmage where coaches can work together to control the speed of the game, control the pace, control the placement, to try to get our kids in better shape and better prepared for the whole season.
You know, when I got here tonight, I said, man, it looks like we got a lot of kids on in our program this year. I was, you know, watching the 11-on-11 with the JV plan, and then I looked, you know, along the sideline, and a lot of kids standing along the sideline. How many kids you have this year?
We're in the low 50s, so we have
a good number.
Yeah, we have a really small freshman group, just a really small group of freshman boys. I think there's only 20-something boys in that whole class, so we're fortunate to get double digits out of them. But, you know, we like our numbers. We were able to get four or five kids that didn't play last year out of the hallways and back with us. And, you know, we're just looking to continue to build relationships and build our program day in and day out.
The one thing that you do on these Meet the Team nights is you bring an officiating crew in, and then they talk to the kids after the game, which I think's a learning curve even for me in this business. What were some of the things that they indicated to you guys tonight on point of emphasis?
A lot of the things really focus on safety, really it's trying to keep the head out of the game, equipment issues, you know, they talked about covering the knee pads.
That's a big point of emphasis.
Yeah, right? It is.
And
it
if
is.
You don't, you have to sit out of play.
Correct, and that's something that you see on a lot of Saturdays and Sundays with the college guys and the pro guys, but you know, we're really trying to make this game as safe as possible, so you got to cover up all those parts, and we're trying to emphasize that to the kids this year, and the officials will take that out of our hands if the kids don't do it. So,
all right, and from a pass interference standpoint, the one thing I learned, face guarding is legal now as long as there's no contact, right?
Correct.
And if there's contact, then it's a 15-yard penalty.
Correct, and it's something that, I mean, whether it was legal or not, I think a lot of DBs have, and a lot of DB coaches have used that technique over the years, one way or the other. But it really makes sense that you are able to defend the pass with the entirety of your body as long as you're not making contact. So I think that rule is something that definitely makes sense.
Right. And we talked about this with you a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. You got some dual participation kids up and running this year. How has that been working out? As we approach, what is it? Is next week the second week or third week? How's all that been working out?
So far, so good. It takes a lot of communication between coaches and athletes and even parents. And it also takes special kids that are willing to do all that, willing to communicate, put in the time and the effort that it takes to compete in not only one but multiple sports. And we're blessed with a couple kids who are able to go out and do a lot of good things in multiple avenues. And so far, so good.
You got two in the football program that are playing multiple sports.
Yeah, we have two kids who one is playing football and golf, and the other is playing football, golf, and cross country.
Holy smokes. All right. Who was your kicker tonight, by the way, at the end of the scrimmage? He was booting them through the uprights, whoever that was.
Yeah, that's our three-sport athlete there. That's Robbie Holtschlag.
And he's just a freshman.
Yeah, he is, and he's just learning how to kick. something that's a little foreign to him, but we're working on it, and he's starting to take some of that athleticism that he has from golf and cross country, where he's got real strong legs, and starting to take that to hopefully translate into the football field.
All right, and you know, I was just looking at some of the kids here on the field, and there's some nice talent sprinkled on the field. You know, you got some young kids, but you have some experience. I know kids, you know, up front like Jaden Klingeman back, Alec Lilly, and you look at some of the skill kids, Trayson Essig back for his junior year, Rashawn King quarterback. You have Evan Lilly, Evan Terrell. I don't know if I mentioned Trayson Essig, but there's some nice groupings you have there, and I think that's kind of a good nucleus for this group.
Yeah, we actually have a really nice mix between our sophomores, juniors, and seniors. We're not dominant on one level. You know, we have a solid senior class who's done a good job with their leadership role this year and taking some of those younger guys under their wings. But when you look at guys who are playing for us, it's really a solid mix between the older guys and the youngsters. And I mentioned to you off air, and I keep harping on it and saying it, but we were so young last year that we're young again. And a lot of these guys that got to play as either freshmen or sophomores last year are now taking that to the next step and are really coming in with 10 games under their belt. So I think that can only benefit them. And hopefully we'll be able to put out a little more depth than we were a year ago.
Yeah, I know staying healthy is such an instrumental or integral part of the season. There's no question about that when you look at roster and key players. But schedule-wise, you know, right off the bat, I mean, got to be ready to play. So what are you looking for from this group? I mean, what are the certain areas you're trying to hone in on as you get ready for next Friday where you think going to be the difference maker? And we know game one, penalty is always going to be an issue, stuff like that. But what are some of the other key things you're looking at early?
I think especially when you're a teenager, it's really easy to only see the big picture. You know, they think in terms of trophies and rings and all that. And as a coach, we think in terms of let's get the little things done, because we know it's those little things that are the building blocks and stepping stones that get you to those bigger picture goals down the road. And so that's really what we're trying to hone in on, is cleaning up the little mistakes, being able to put forth that consistent tenacity and aggressiveness that it's going to take, because football's a tough game, and sometimes you get a little tired or fatigued. It's easy to take a play off, but it's the one sport where if you just flat out take a play off, it can really be highlighted based on something the defense does to exploit your overall lack of play on that one particular rep. So we're really trying to hone in on that, and trying to just clean up all the little things and focusing only on Knoxville right now. That's our whole season just comes down to week one right now.
Yeah, and they were a playoff team last year. This is a good opponent. So a little early scout on them in terms of what you know about what they're bringing back and what type of matchup they're going to be next Friday.
A very experienced team. They've got a lot of depth on their offensive and defensive lines. They don't really try to do anything too crazy. They really just say that we are big and bad up front. We're going to come at you, and can you stop it or not? And so it's definitely something that, you know, it was a weakness of ours last year when we faced Illini West in week two. They came at us, and we weren't ready for it. And so we've talked about that and prepared for that particular style right off the bat. And I think we're doing a better job of that so far. We're not where we need to be yet, but we've got one more week to clean up all those skills that we needed to for week one.
Yeah, and I forget to mention, I was trying to remember some of the kids to mention. I forgot to mention Steve Speaker, who's played, you know, he played a little bit when he was a freshman. So when you head to next Friday, are there still some battles to be won in terms of starting spots? Are you pretty set there? Are there some certain things you still got to fine tune?
Both. I mean, there's some spots that have been won already just based on the first 11 days here of camp. And, you know, some of the summer stuff that's led to those 11 days and the progress we've made there. But there's also some other areas where you're still seeing some battles going on. And now, you know, not that we've neglected it, because we haven't, but you start to hone in on some of your special teams and some of your little things that can really give you an added advantage come week one. So some of those little things here, we're going to get ready as we get into the final install of the game plan tomorrow and Monday.
All right, and then just kind of a thumbnail sketch of, well, before I ask you about the LTC, I remember talking to you last year. I think is this third year already, right? And I remember early in the season said you really can't worry about whether we're 2A or 3A. You got to prepare that probably going to be in 3A? I mean, that's probably the approach you got to take again this year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say every year. You know, you see Susie or prognosticator yeah. saying that we're going to be 2A. Then you see our numbers a little bit bigger than it was 2 years ago, and we were 3A then. So, you know, I can't really worry about that right now. And you know what? If you don't come out and win football games in the regular season, it doesn't matter whether you're 2A or 3A. So the focus right now is Knoxville. We're not going to worry about that other stuff.
All right. And a little bit about kind of a thumbnail of the LTC heading into 2018.
I think overall the LTC is probably a little deeper than it was last year. Princeville's going to bring back a lot of guys. Weathersfield's got a lot of talent still there. I think you'll see Stark County make a little bit of a bounce back. And at the bottom of the conference, and I shouldn't even say the bottom like that, you just got a lot of teams that have been working on building their programs and getting better. And I think you're going to start to see that depth really roar its head this year.
All right. And I've heard people on both ends of the spectrum say, no way district scheduling will happen. Yes, it's going to happen. Maybe it will happen, but it's been kind of either end of the spectrum. But it seems like with the IHSA being involved in the football advisory committee and basically telling everybody, hey, we can schedule if you need us to. What's your position right now, and just what do you think? I mean, that's going to be the big talk here outside the actual games taking place here in the fall.
At this point, I still think there's a lot more question marks than there are answers. And until those questions can be answered, it doesn't make sense to me to go forward. Now, if those questions do get answered, maybe it will. But at this point, there's a lot of question marks, especially at the smaller level, I think, where you see a lot of conferences are mixed between 1, 2, and 3A schools, and there may not be the amount of schools needed for a quadrant, not a quadrant, but a grouping, a district, mm-hmm. In one particular area, yet alone crossover games between other districts, or if you have one later in the year. You know, you're talking about traveling a good distance or playing a team maybe either much larger than you or much smaller than you. So there's still a lot of question marks out there, and I think those are something that, you know, the advisory committee needs to keep looking at. And, you know, we can't really go forward with that until those questions are answered.
I've said this before, and I was down here tonight, and unfortunately, I was only down here for 2 years watching Ty play every week. And I hope people and kids really appreciate and don't take for granted the facility they play at. And it's always been neat, but I mean, with the bleachers on both sides and the all-weather track, and I love the brand-new bright yellow gold posts with the orange flags on them. I mean, that's the one thing about don't take for granted what the opportunity you get to play in. And it starts, you know, really next Friday when you host Knoxville.
Yeah, we're blessed to play in a unique environment. This field and this facility rivals any small school facility in our area. And sometimes you see some nice new ones pop up all around the state. But, you know, you look at our conference, you look at some of the local teams, and nothing compares to this. It's a special environment, a special place. And, you know, my kids are blessed to play here, and I'm blessed to be a coach here.
We need a lot of Mercer County blue and gold next week, more than Knoxville blue and gold. Coach, be a fun start to the season. Hope fans can get out and see a good game next Friday night.
Yeah, it should be a great environment. Yeah, you got two teams that return a lot of guys, two playoff teams, and you know, you get to kick off, and it doesn't get much more exciting than that.
Coach Hofer is down at Meet the Team on Friday night. More coming up on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.